Now more of the Billiken Basketball Return to the Tournament Special, brought to you by your independent tire dealer. Visit them at itdroll.com. And by Mike's Automotive, continuing their tradition of excellence. Check them out at mikesautomotive.net.
And then I think Tremaine Isabel's been really good offensively of late. Clearly was outstanding in the tourney, MOP, A-10 tourney. So they've got some momentum and some confidence.
Welcome back to our 2019 Billiken Tournament Special. Later on, the boys are going to be taking on Virginia Tech in what we hope will be round one of NCAA previews here on 590 The Fan. Hopefully, we're doing a Sweet 16 preview next week featuring the Billikens. You've heard from TMA. You've heard from Frank Cusimano, who hosts the Press Box. You've heard from Martin Kilcoin, who is one of the co-hosts of the Midday Grind, noon to one here on 590 The Fan. His partner, Charlie Marlow, shares a slew of tournament Billikens and overall memories from the Cranium.
Friday night, 9 p.m., the final game of the first round of the NCAA tournament. I still call it the first round, even though technically they now call it the second round with the whole first four. To me, still the first round. 9 p.m., San Jose, the 4 versus 13 matchup, slew the 13 seed, getting in after the unbelievable weekend in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center, winning 4 games in 4 days, taking on the 4 seed out of the ACC, Virginia Tech. You know I got to start with gambling. I always love to talk about the numbers. Last checked, Wednesday, slew getting 10.5 points and plus 475 on the money line. I think this is very intriguing. You have some national pundits, guys like especially Joe Lunardi, Mr. Bracketology, really liking Virginia Tech to get to the Sweet 16. Understandable when you're a 4 seed, but I think this game is going to be closer than a 10.5 point spread. I'm not saying SLU will win. However, that wouldn't surprise me one bit. And I think an important factor in this matchup is the fact that if you go back to not this season, but the previous season. In November, the Billikens beat Virginia Tech on a neutral court in New York City, 77-71. You have 4 Billiken regulars that are part of this unbelievable 6-man rotation they basically play right now. We're playing significant minutes in that game. We're talking Hassan French, Jordan Goodwin, Javon Bess, and DJ Foreman. And then you look at the other side with the Hokies, 5 of their regulars that played over the weekend this year also took part in that game back in November of 2017. And so when I look at that and I think about a Billikens team that beat a lot of these guys, so 4 of the Billiken players were on that court beating 5 of the Hokie players they're going to suit up against on Friday night. They beat this team on a neutral court, 77-71. So when I see that, I think you're going to have a confident Billiken team that know they can beat the Hokies. They've done that before. They're on a neutral court again. I don't think the NCAA tournament is going to intimidate these players because, again, you've lined up against them. You have some guys that have also already played in the NCAA tournament, like Javon Bess with Michigan State, even though it's been a while. And I understand you could say that the Billikens could be running out of gas. I think that's a fair argument for this past weekend when they're running on fumes, playing 6 guys, winning 4 games in 4 days. But look, you're talking about 5 days off now. The Billikens might get beat, but I don't think it's because if that happens that they ran out of gas. This is just a team that's matched up against another solid team in Virginia Tech. But I like what the Billikens are doing right now. Defensively, they're playing really, really strong. And even though they're not a great free throw shooting team, they're not a great 3-point shooting team, they have some terrific athletes that can get to the bucket. And that's why if SLU is actually making threes in a game, it's very hard to beat them. What was most impressive to me at the A-10 tournament was the fact that here's a team that all season long, since the transfer of Cartier Gordon, they've been thin on numbers. They're playing 6 guys. And for a while there, the MO was that they're going to come out and they're going to play well in the first half, but later on, second half, latter portion of the game, because they don't play heavy numbers and because they don't shoot free throws well, you could kind of grind them down. Well, in the Atlantic 10 tournament, it was the exact opposite. SLU was plus 53 in the second half over the course of those four games in the Atlantic 10 tournament. So we're talking about an average of 13 points per game. They improved. They were better than their opponent in the second half. This is despite the fact that they're not a good free throw shooting team. And it almost bit them there in the final game against the Bonnies. Despite the fact they really only play six guys. You're rolling out the starters of Hassan French, Jordan Goodwin, Javon Bess, DJ Foreman. You have Tremaine Isabel Jr., who's really come on, averaging 23 points per game in the month of March. He's averaging 21 points per game in his last 10 games of the season. He's really coming on. And then basically, those guys are playing heavy minutes. We're talking 35, 36, 37 minutes, almost the entire game. And usually, it's a Fred Thatch Jr. picking up the slack with 25 or so. You'll see an occasional Casey Hankton out there. Deion Wiley had some big moments in the tournament. But really, you're talking six guys carrying the weight for the Billikens. And NCAA tournament-wise, it's the best time of year, just watching games. Thursday, Friday, thinking back of just some tournament memories for myself, I was able to cover all three of SLU's NCAA tournament appearances when we're talking about back to 2012, 2013, 2014, the first year of SLU getting back to the tournament, which unfortunately was Rick Majerus's final season. And SLU goes to Columbus, Ohio. They win their first game, and then they give Michigan State and Tom Izzo all they can handle in that second game and come up a bit short, but really played well against a number one seed. Unfortunately, Rick Majerus passes away. SLU gets back to the NCAA tournament the next couple years with Jim Cruz leading the way. But that core, I think that was just one of those really fun teams that college basketball and Billiken fans like to watch, because in the era of one and dones, sometimes you see these guys for 1 year like a Zion, but that was one of those teams that built over 3 or 4 years, and you had Kwame Mitchell, you had Jordair Jett, you had Brian Conklin, you had Cody Ellis, and it was one of those really fun teams to watch them build and become this really good team that was winning championships in the Atlantic 10. Mike McCall, Dwayne Evans, just a really solid all-around basketball team that got to three straight NCAA tournaments. So maybe this is now the start of a run for the Billikens as they've done this again, getting to their first tournament under Travis Ford, who's had to deal with so much the last couple years. You had the Title IX investigation last season, which just kind of in terms of numbers and, you know, looking at it from a basketball standpoint, you had to bounce back from not having a lot of the guys you had penciled in there to be in your lineup. And again, mentioning Cartier Gordon this year, transfers, injuries, because I think this could have been a really good 2 year stretch for the Billikens if everything had played out right numbers wise. So for them to get to the NCAA tournament this year, when they had no hope of an automatic bid, 4 wins in 4 days was just so much fun to watch. Hats off to the Billikens. They deserve it. And some of these guys as seniors, like a Tremaine Isabel Jr. and Javon Bass, I'm very happy, DJ Foreman, for them to make it to the NCAA tournament in their final year with the Billikens.
All right, boys and girls, time now. Thank you, Charlie, by the by. Time now to start breaking this down. Jimmy Huer, Bob Ramsey, why don't you first give us a little bit of an overview of how we got here? Now. Do it now.
Joined now by Bob Ramsey, the voice of the Billikens, and he has found his way to San Jose. Bob, how are things out there?
James, doing great, and it's exciting time to be out here in a tournament run that was by the end of the year, by February, it was unexpected. You know, you always hope, but to try and win 4 in 4 days was quite a challenge. And you know, you play the odds, you just never know what you're going to end up doing, and the Billikens rose to the occasion, obviously, in dramatic fashion.
It has been a roller coaster, I guess maybe is the best way to put it, Bob, because at the beginning of the year, I remember on the air with you, I was telling people, hey, get down and watch this team. This is going to be a special team. There was so many expectations, and at the beginning of the year, you really liked what you had, and you thought, and it didn't go the way you thought, but you're still in the tournament. But can just kind of give us the people who are just joining the bandwagon, if you will, how this thing got to where it was, because there was a lot of guys that were counted on early, and a few of them aren't around anymore.
This has really been a two-year run, but let's just talk about from Labor Day moving forward. Around Labor Day, Travis Ford said publicly he thought he had the best, deepest group of five bigs of anyone in the country, that he would put up his five against anybody else's group of bigs. By that, I mean, if you like to call them power forwards and centers, however you want to label it, five bigs. And that this was going to be a big, strong, tough, dominating, big man-oriented basketball team. That was the game plan. Then in short order, two of them by the end of September are gone. One moved on by the team decision, and then the star-crossed Elliot Wilmer broke his foot again and was out until just a couple days ago. But he really, you know, he's dressing, but that's about it. So you go from five to three. You say, well, okay, we just got to manage the minutes a lot better and that sort of thing. And you're playing pretty well. You play up and down in September, 4-3. You get into league play. You win your first five league games. But as you get into league play, Cartier Gordon, your prized recruit and one of your really skilled and talented bigs, elects to transfer. So now, as you're winning some games, now you have to reevaluate, who are we? And Travis Ford and his staff changed the team from a big man-oriented team to a guard-oriented team. Not easy to do in midseason, and the proof is in the pudding. The Billikens lost four straight. Two of them you'd like to think you could have or should have won. So, and then, you know, so then the team has its ups and downs as it tries to reinvent itself, almost, you know, the old Phoenix Rising story. And they started playing better basketball. And then along the same time, a player they brought in as a grad transfer, Tremaine Isabel, who had a remarkable season, at Drexel last year, came in and was really, you know, he was okay. He was up and down to the point that in December, Tremaine and coach had a meeting. Tremaine, what's going on? Why am I not effective? And it's amazing that Travis Ford had the inside, Jim, to say, by February, you're going to be back to who you are. And sure enough, February rolls around, and in Tremaine Isabel's last 11 games, he's averaging 20 points a game. And has been the dynamic offensive player that the Billikens were counting on all year. So a reinvented team, a rediscovered Tremaine Isabel, and it all came together at just the right time, as the Billikens now have won six of their last seven, including four in a row in the conference tournament.
It's been a whirlwind, and when you mentioned the transition from bigs to guards, I don't think, and then maybe in time, Bob, we'll look back at it and go, wow, that was unbelievable. I don't know if most people can understand how significant of a change that was, and being able to do that and accomplish what they're accomplishing right now. I'm still going over what has taken place in the last month and go, wow, I didn't see this one coming. Did you see some of this coming from your perspective?
No, because we were. And one of the things that, and not to pin it on the guy, but one of the things that you kind of counted on was Tremaine Isabel. And so he goes in November, December, and January, not really being the guy he wanted to be. And then things just started to click. So to say you see it coming would be disingenuous. Although Travis Ford saw it coming relative to Tremaine Isabel. And then when we talk about my broadcast partner, Earl Austin Jr., when the Billikens last Friday night, beat Dayton, said once we got by Dayton, he felt really, really good about their chances to win the A-10 tournament. So, things did start to click, and some of the inside people started to feel it coming.
Al, for you personally, you've been through so many of these stories over the years, and you've seen some of the great runs and some of the tournaments in the past. You mentioned Earl mentioning on Friday that he started to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Was that where it occurred for you too, or did it take a little while before you went, we got something special going on here? Because that was a very, very special weekend.
You know, on Saturday, semifinal day, my head was spinning. And so I thought, David said, oh my goodness. Yeah, I kind of thought they might even have been the best team in the league. And, oh boy, what are we going to do? And then as the day wore on and I went to practice and watched the team and watched the focus and saw how we'd won a couple of games there, changing up defenses and really adapting to situations better than we had all season long. And I started to realize, you know, Davidson beat the Billikens at Chaffetz Arena, but the Bills had the game won and lost it in a tragic sense in the last few seconds of the game. I'm thinking, when you look at it that way, you played right with them and should have won the game. And so by the time the game rolled around, I felt really pretty good about it. And then obviously the Billikens up and down in the first half, but by the time the second half rolled around, the Bills were rolling too. And what they did defensively was really remarkable. They went almost exclusively to the 1-3-1, and a week later, I'm still trying to figure out why Davidson couldn't adapt to that 1-3-1, and they just couldn't. And then you go to the next day, the championship day, against St. Bonaventure. The Bills started in the 1-3-1, but Mark Schmidt from St. Bonaventure coached it so well, the Bills had a horrible start, and then they got out of the 1-3-1. So Travis Ford's ability to adapt in-game and the players' ability to adapt in-game, from instructions from Travis, really remarkable job of coaching and execution last weekend.
We're talking with Bob Ramsey here on our Billiken special as the Billikens return to the NCAA basketball tournament here on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. We'll take a break. When we come back, Bob and I will break down the matchup between the Billikens and Virginia Tech. That's coming up next. This Billiken Basketball Return to the Tournament Special is brought to you by your independent tire dealer. Visit them at itdroll.com. And by Mike's Automotive, continuing the tradition of excellence. Check them out at mikesautomotive.net. We'll have more of our Billiken Basketball Return to the Tournament Special after this.